Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Holy."
Oh,
Sound Doctrine broadcast coming to you live. We're on the road this week. We're up in the state of Connecticut enjoying a little vacation time with the family and friends. And we want to thank the supporters of this program. We want to thank you for your prayers and your emails and your chats in the chat box and for going to visit our website at myibbc.com, the church, or rather .net. We want to thank you for that. We want to really, truly thank you for your prayers, because your prayers have really carried us through this month and this week. And we're sorry about last week, technical difficulty. You know, Nathan didn't have any control over that, and I don't have any control over that. And, you know, the Lord knows what he's doing. Amen? So praise God. Now, we just want to thank the listeners from around the world, those we heard from South Korea and England and all around the world and here in the United States of America. And we just want to thank you. Tonight I want to touch on a subject called God's Method of Victory Over the World. Amen? God's Method of Victory Over the World. And the truth is that Christians saved for a long time are having trouble with the world and problems in the world, and they just can't seem to get a victory over the world. And that's the problem today. Churches have become worldly, and the subjects taught in the churches are worldly. We've gotten away from the Word of God. We've gotten away from the foundation principles of the Bible, sound doctrine. And that's why we call this program the Sound Doctrine Broadcast. And so if you're ready, you have your King James Bible, and that's what we teach from, the King James Authorized Version. We don't mess around with it. We don't, the forgeries, they sound good, but, you know, there's no power in them. But if you'll get two places with me this evening before I bring this sermon about, and you'll go to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11. 1 Chronicles 29:11. And I have one verse there, and I have a verse in 1 Corinthians 15:57. So that's 1 Chronicles 29:11 and 1 Corinthians 15:57. Amen. Give you a chance to get there. And let's have a prayer, and let's bring the power of the Lord into this thing. Holy Father, we just bow down before you as a listening audience and a congregation of hungry brethren who've come to hear your word tonight, Lord, that you would set me aside as the preacher and let nothing come from my flesh, and that you'd be glorified in this message, Lord, that you would touch hearts and minds and change the direction of lives, and that your Son, Jesus Christ, would be glorified. That you just fill me with your Spirit, Lord, and we'll be the people will be the light bulbs, and you be the electricity, and I'll just be the wire, Lord, tonight. And let's just touch hearts and change minds. And I thank you, Holy Father, in Jesus' name. If you're looking over there with me in the text of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 11, the scripture reads, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." Amen. Amen. And over there in 1 Corinthians 15:57, we read, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And as I said before, the title of this sermon is God's Method of Victory Over the World. And I had not preached this sermon in the past, and I the Lord gave it to me, and I preached it on a Sunday to the church in Imperial Beach, California, and I wanted to touch you with it tonight. I believe the Lord will move your heart. But every Christian, boy or girl, young or old, can apply this method of victory over the world. And this method of victory over the world, it has worked, it will work, and it must work in every Christian's life if it's applied. Because this method is God's method. It is not the preacher's method. It is not the deacon's method. It is not the congregation's method. This is God's method, and God's method must work. Amen? Because God has set forth a sevenfold method for overcoming the world in your Christian walk. Now, Webster's 1828 Dictionary of the English Language defines that word victory as a conquest, the defeat of an enemy, And by the way, the world is the Christian's enemy. And if you're a Christian, the world is your enemy. And the advantage of superiority gained over spiritual enemies, over passions and appetites, over temptations, or in any struggle or competition. And that's what Webster said. Noah Webster in his 1828 dictionary. Now listen, if you don't think there's a difference between dictionaries and accantation meanings of words, you need to go and open up an 1828 Webster's dictionary with your children and look up the definition of marriage and open up some of these newfangled Webster's dictionaries of the new century dictionaries and see what the definition of marriage is. The definition of marriage in a Webster's is dealing with the fidelity between a man and a woman, a union. And that's defined. That's biblical. And so Webster defines the English language. He defines victory as a conquest, the defeat of the enemy, the advantage of superiority gained over spiritual enemies, over passions and appetites, over temptations, and over any struggle or competition. You know, the Apostle James wrote, "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Amen? And tonight I want to introduce you to the seven steps to God's method of victory over this world. And perhaps there's more ways of overcoming the world. But this evening, I want to set forth seven steps which God has placed on my heart. And I know it's biblical, and I know it will help. So it will strengthen your Christian walk. Amen? Now, step one, to overcoming the world, keep from it. James wrote, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." That's James 1:27. And we're talking here about the place of separation. Because the place of separation is the Christian's place of to keep unspotted means not to be stained. Therefore, we can't get too close to the world. We must not get too close to the world. Jesus Christ, our Savior, prayed to the Father. He said, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." That's found over in the scriptures in John chapter 17, verses 15 to 16. Christians are in the world, but Christians are not of the world. James said you are to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Unspotted means not to be stained. And oh, how we get upset, you know, when you spill something on your clothes and it spots, you know, and it stains your clothing. Well, Christian, your Christian clothing is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And a Christian ought not to stain the Christ's righteousness with worldly stains. Separation from the world. The world can get you, and listen, the world can get on you. The world can get on you just living your everyday, normal Christian life. You don't have to smoke a cigar to smell like one. Just stand next to somebody who's smoking a cigar. And that's how the world can get on you. The world can stain you. And while you were away from the church this week, I know you heard things you ought not to have heard and seen things that you ought not to have. And the world got on you. And if the world got on you, I know you must have felt dirty. But thank God there's a method of victory over the world. And the first step to that victory over the world is to separate yourself from the world. Listen, Christians don't dress like the world, act like the world, think like the world, behave like the world, speak like the world, listen to the music of the world. And if you want victory over the world, then you must take the first step of this sevenfold method. It's God's method of victory over the world. It is separation from the world. Here's step number two. You must take Christ's victory over the world. Let me say that again. You, Christian, must take Christ's victory over the world. You know, John, the beloved apostle, he leaned against Jesus Christ just during the Last Supper. Later on, John recorded that our Lord said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Amen. John 16:33. Jesus did not say, "I will later overcome the world." Our Lord said, "I have overcome the world." He has overcome the world in the past. He has overcome the world in the present tense. And if the world had overcome Jesus Christ, he would still be found buried in it. Amen. Listen, Christian, neither he nor you will ever stay in it if you have Jesus Christ inside you. the Apostle John, you know, he grasped at this later. He wrote, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome the world, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." 1 John 4:4 says, "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" John 5:5, you must take Christ's victory over the world. So let's look at that. Step number one, you must keep from it. Step number two, you must take Christ's victory over the world. All things. This is what the disciples said to him. "Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needeth not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." John 16:30. Christian, it's your faith. You must believe. You have the victory over the world. So step number one, you need to, in order to get victory over the world, God's method is number one, to keep from it. Number two, you must take Christ's victory over the world. Number three, you must believe you have victory over the world. Number four, you have to recognize the Lord's indwelling spirit within you. "Ye have overcome them." This is 1 John 4:4, the Apostle John. "Ye have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Amen? And this is probably the simplest step of all. The Lord within keeps the world out. Listen, the Bible will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from the Bible. Amen? Now let me say that one more time in a different way. This is the simplest step. Recognize the Lord's indwelling presence. Amen? Listen, the Lord within keeps the world without. The Lord within keeps the world without. The Lord within keeps the world out. I said, the Lord within keeps the world out. Beloved, Paul the Apostle, he said he'd have no man to be ignorant. And he wrote to the Corinthians. Amen. And listen, they were severely influenced by the world. I mean, they were in Corinth. They used to say in the old Baptist churches and the Methodist churches and the Protestant churches, they used to say that when a Christian was backslidden or a person was worldly, they'd say that he was Corinthianized. Well, where do you think that came from? That came from the historical Greek city of Corinth. And at night in Corinth, at midnight, 1,000 temple prostitutes would come down into the cities It was a place of debauchery and sin and paganism and godliness. Amen. It's true. But Paul, who would not have us to be ignorant, he wrote to those Corinthians. And like I said, they were influenced by the world. And Paul wrote this: "Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth. Scripture says, for all the promises of God in him, that's Jesus Christ, are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. But the anointing you have received of him abideth in you." Amen. Hey, listen, step four of God's method for overcoming the world is for you to recognize that the Lord's indwelling presence is within you. Over there in the Gospel of John, Jesus Christ made a promise. And that promise holds true to every born-again believer today. Jesus' promise is, if ye love me, now don't we love Jesus? Amen. Hey, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Hey, listen, Christian, there's a lot of people out there calling themselves Christians. They don't attend church. They don't attend Bible studies. They say that I have a personal relationship with God. Listen, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of the brethren together. When those Roman soldiers used to get together and they'd stand there side by side and they had those shields, they were, you know, about 6 feet tall and 2.5, 3 feet wide, and they'd stand there and they'd get side by side and they put those shields together as an army, and they blocked the enemy from coming in. They'd stop arrows from raining down, and they were like a wall. And that's what Christians do. Soldiers hang out with soldiers, and the Christ has called you to be a Christian soldier. That's biblical. That's the Word of God. It doesn't matter what you think the Word of God says. It doesn't matter what you believe the Word of God says. It doesn't matter how you justify your life before God. What matters is when the Bible says that when they stand before God, he opened the books. Listen, the books are he opened the books, the seven seals on the seven. If you look down the spine of your Bible, you will notice there are seven seals. When he opens the seals on those books, that is the books he is going to open. And he is going to judge us from what was within the books, the 66 books. And then there is the book of life. And if your name does not appear in the book of life, then you are damned to eternal hell. And there's only one reason why a person's name is not going to appear in the book of life. And that reason is he did not receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Being a murderer, being a rapist, being a robber, being a thief, being a liar, that doesn't stop a man from getting to heaven. What stops a man from getting to heaven is not receiving Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. That's the unpardonable sin. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen. So we're looking at it, and we see that step four is recognize the indwelling presence of the Lord. Step four of God's method for overcoming for the world is you to recognize that. Over there in the Gospel of John, Jesus made that promise, hey, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide in you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Hey, Christian, if you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit lives and resides in you. You cannot do the things that you would before you came to Christ. And when you do those things, there's a conviction for that sin. It's not merely your conscience. The Holy Spirit will bring that to your heart. And that's the evidence and proof of your salvation. If you recognize the Lord's indwelling presence, then you're going to find yourself speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns than spiritual songs, and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Ephesians chapter 5, 19 and 20 says. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote by the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Our churches have turned into zoos. We've got rock and roll groups and music so loud that you can't enjoy yourself. What happened to the beautiful, wonderful hymns that we sung? Near the cross. Amen. Excuse me. Near the cross. Nearer to thee, O Lord. Amazing grace. What a friend we have in Jesus. That we become worldly. You know, well, the world's changing. We got to change our method. No, the world may change. Ye are not of the world. Come ye out from among them and be ye separate. Don't be like the world. We don't dress like the world. We don't think like the world. We don't behave like the world. Your neighbors ought to know you're a Christian by the way you act, by the way you speak, by the way you dress, by the way you go to church. There's something different about you from the rest of the world. It's something the world ought to look at you and say, listen, no matter what happens in this person's life, they have peace and joy. And I need some of that. The world needs love. The world needs peace. Forget worldly peace. Worldly peace is a compromise peace. You don't get peace from the world unless you compromise. Well, Jesus Christ gives you a peace that surpasses all understanding without a compromise. Amen? Peace. These kingdom builders are a joke. All the world knows for peace. What peace? The United Nations had over 57 wars since they've been united to bring peace. Cut it out. The world cannot bring peace. Peace will come by Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ only. The Bible is a history book. It's already written. It's devolution, not evolution. It doesn't get better. It gets worse. Amen? If you recognize the Lord's indwelling presence, you're going to find yourself. You're going to be speaking yourself in psalms and hymns and singing spiritual songs and making melody in the heart to the Lord, because that's what you'll be focused on. Amen? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I broke my leg. What do I got to thank God? Hey, amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know why you broke your leg, but whatever it is, the Bible says all things work to the glory of God. Must be something in there to glorify God. Praise the Lord. Let's get on with life. Quit wallowing in your whining about life all your life. If I only had, if I only had. Hey, listen, you got what you need. Amen? You got to recognize the Lord's indwelling presence. Here's step number 5. You must remember the world is an enemy, and the command is not to have fellowship with the world. You got churches having carnivals on the front lawn. Don't you get what the word carnival is? Carnal. Carnival. Okay? You're bringing carnality into the church. Las Vegas night. You know what I mean? But I call a remembrance to this listening audience this evening the very words of the Apostle James. He said, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Hey, listen, I'm talking about spiritual adultery. I'm not talking about a physical adultery. I'm talking about spiritual adultery. The church is the bride of Christ. And James said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is the enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. James 4:4. Hey, listen, I didn't write it, but I have to live by it. It's the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. Not thus saith the preacher, not thus saith Peter, not thus say Dr. Ventura, not thus say Nathan, not thus say the Sound Doctrine Broadcast, thus saith the Lord. John James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Listen, if you're in love with the world, you're committing adultery with God, because you are part of the bride of Christ. And what are you loving the world for? He's not of the world. You put the world before the Lord. You put your money before the Lord. You put your houses before the Lord. You put your families before the Lord. The Lord is number one. Everything else comes after that. And then you have the proper order, and God will bless your life. And you'll reap those things. You know, the Pharisees, They were full of the world. And this is what Jesus told them. He said, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Don't you know the world says, see and believe? God doesn't think like that. God says believing is seeing. Amen? It's the world that unsaved men. And you have to remember, the world is an enemy. And the command for step five is not to have fellowship with the world. The world will pull a Christian down into sin. Excuse me, would overcome the world. Now I want you to know something. I used to take men home how easy it is to get pulled down into the world. I'd take them and make them stand up on a table. And I'd tell them, brother, pull me up there. And that table's 2 or 3 feet off the ground. And I'd say, pull me up there. And I'd pull them right off that table. You see, it's easier to come down than it is to go up. Amen? And the world will pull you down. The world will pull a Christian down and into sin. And you're to overcome the world, not to become the world. And that's what's happening in our churches. People are becoming the world. The church is becoming the world. You go to church today, you can't tell, hey, listen, preachers, I know you're out there listening, and I know you tune into this program. You need to quit playing with God. That's what you need to do. You're turning your church into a zoo. And one day Jesus Christ is going to say to you, you're going to go up there and you're going to say, Lord, Lord, I did this in your name, and Lord, Lord, I did that in your name, and the Lord's going to say, I never knew you. You see, because you got a different Jesus in your church. You got a Jesus that only forgives people who have sins like yours. That's what one of your problems is. You got a church where you let your people dress and run around any way they want. Listen, if the governor called you to dinner tonight, you'd put a suit on. Yeah, you want to go to church and rip jeans and stand up there at the pulpit and represent God as an ambassador? The Bible says you're an ambassador, preacher. You are an ambassador. Every country has ambassadors. Every country in this world has an ambassador. And I tell you what, our ambassadors from the United States of America don't wear rags to go represent their country. And I'd like to know how you get up to that pulpit wearing rags with your shirt hanging out and a pair of sneakers with some ripped jeans. Who are you playing with? What Jesus are you serving? What kind of an ambassador are you for Christ? Okay, preacher, you need to quit playing with God. That's what you need to do. And then maybe your people will stop playing with God. And then maybe your church will prosper. You think because you've got people in your church and you can count a bunch of numbers and a bunch of money coming in, well, I'll tell you what, when they start going out that door because they're not getting fed and they're getting the truth somewhere else and they start walking out that door, you'll be crying like a baby to Jesus, well, where's my congregation going? Well, your congregation's going to get fed somewhere because they've been starving to death being fed on scraps of the NIV and the RSV and the ASV and the message and all that other nonsense. And you know it's wrong, but you want to keep the numbers in the church so you can keep the money up. Yeah, so you got a salary. Why don't you go to work then? Amen? And I'm talking to you, preachers. You know who you are. You tune into this program, and I know you're out there. God's got a message for you. You've been playing church too long from the pulpit. You know, the Bible says there are preachers out there. Over in Timothy, it says that warns the brethren that there are men that are preaching doctrines of devils. Well, what do you think they're preaching them for and from? They're preaching them from the pulpits in the churches today. Rick Warren's and Kenneth Copeland's and Hagin's and that other fool running around selling miracle water, 20 miracles in a bottle for $10. And you people fall for that nonsense. And you're yelling hallelujah, and you think you're getting blessed. Hey, listen, if I wanted to build a church where I am, I have a small church. I could build my church in a week. I could pull the same nonsense stunts that they're doing on television. You fall for it. When I'll go and tell somebody to come to my church, and I'll get rid of that demon of poverty and pray over them in the church, and then I'll have my deacon run out and put a $500 bill, a check in their mailbox, and they'll run around the whole town saying that Pastor Ventura prayed over me, and I found $500 in my mailbox, and that demon of poverty's gone, and I'll have the whole city there looking for money. We don't play church. We read the Bible. We study the Bible. We live by the Word of God. You preachers have been playing in church too long with that nonsense. You're not going to get away with it long. You saw what happened to Oral Roberts. God's tired of that stuff. He says, because you're neither warm nor hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth. You keep playing that game with God. There are Christian men and women who make God sick. God's got more ways of taking people out of the world. Listen, 5,000 people a year get blasted off the earth by lightning. you're walking on a thin cloth. Step number one, keep from the world. Step number two, Christ's victory over the world. Step number three, you must believe you have the victory over the world. Step number four, recognize the Lord's indwelling presence. Amen. Recognize it. Recognize the Lord's indwelling presence, and then you'll find yourself speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And a Christian who recognizes the indwelling presence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, has Christ in their heart, Christ in their songs, and you know what? They're not going to be singing the songs of the world because they don't glorify God. I'll tell you, you know, you got to recognize the indwelling presence in order to achieve step four of God's method. Here's step five. Step five, you must remember the world is an enemy, and the commandment is not to have fellowship with the world. Amen? Listen, ye adulterers and adulterers, well, they were, who were they? Well, Jesus Christ told them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. You see, you got the idea, get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. Well, wait till God kicks that can. We'll see what you're sitting on. Amen. The world will pull a Christian down. Here's step number six. It's the uncompromising and specific command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Love not the world. If you're dwelling in the love of God, this is an easy step. You see, you're a sojourner. And the Apostle John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man, boy or girl, young or old, love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. That's in 1 John 2:15 and 16. And if God blesses us with material things, hey, amen. Thank you, Lord. That's the honey. He said he'd give us milk and honey. Milk is a staple you need for life, and honey is the extra stuff. And I've preached this before. God may give you honey, but you better be grateful, because I'll tell you something about honey. That beehive doesn't stay there all the time. Those bees move along at some point, and that honey's not always going to be there. So if God's giving you honey, you ought to thank God for the honey you got today, because it might not be there tomorrow. Amen? You take it for granted. Amen? But the world, love, listen, if you love the world, the scripture says, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And if God blesses us with material things, hey, amen. But we're not to love those things more than the Lord. Jesus Christ must come before the world. And I'll tell you, I've traveled across this country, and I've seen some of Canada in my lifetime, and there are places that really have caused me to marvel. Their beauty is magnificent, and how wonderful they appear, and how marvelous they are. Yet, we must remember, they're part of the world. And one day, everything you have seen here on this earth will be gone. And one day, we'll see of the world, even as I'm not of the world. You must call to remembrance what the Lord said about this world if you want to reach step seven of God's method for overcoming the world. Christians are of the world. I mean, Christians are in the world, but they are not of the world. You know what? If you're a Bible student, and you ought to be, I call to mind, and I urge you to call to mind, what the patriarch Abraham said. Scripture says about Abraham, it said, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. You see, Abraham understood that this world was not his home, that he was a sojourner in it. It is not, in it, but not of it. In it, but not of it. A sojourner is a temporary resident, a stranger who travels or dwells in a place for a time. And Christian, you and I are sojourners. The world is not your permanent home. You and I are just passing through. The Apostle Peter instructs you and I. He says, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. You see, That's 1 Peter 1:17. So the seventh step of God's method of overcoming the world is that you love not the world. Some time ago, you know, I heard a preacher once testify how that he was in the army. And at night when the soldiers would set up the camp, the gunny sergeant would begin yelling, "Don't drive in your tent stakes too far. We're leaving soon. Don't drive in your tent stakes too far. We're leaving soon." Hey, Christian, don't drive in your tent stakes too far into this world, because you and I, we're leaving soon. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15:52, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Hey, Christian, don't drive your tent stakes in too far, because we're leaving soon. Amen? Hey, the Apostle John saw, and he wrote, now listen, he was banished in the island of Patmos, and he said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Hey, man. Hey, listen. John saw it. And then the final step is, brethren, you need to call to mind the prayer of Christ about this world. You see, Christ said some things about this world. Hey, listen, I understand we're in it, but we're not of it. Christ said this. He said, "You and I are taken out of it, sent into it, and not of it." Jesus prayed to the Father. And I want you to know something. When Jesus prays, his prayers are always answered. And our Savior prayed that we'd be kept from the world. Hear tonight the Lord's Prayer. Scripture says, Jesus prayed, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me of thee, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. In the world, but not of the world. In the world, but not of the world." Hey, listen, that's the Lord's Prayer, okay? John 17:6, 7:14, and verse 15. Jesus prayed that. You think that Jesus Christ is going to waste 2 minutes praying for peace, health, wealth, comfort, success, and prosperity of the world that rejected him and his Father and his words? John 17:9 says, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world." You see, the world system is the system that God Almighty gave to Satan. Luke 4:6 says, "And the devil said unto him, All power will I give thee," he's speaking to Jesus, "at the temptation of the mount, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whosoever I will give it." Amen? Listen, the world does not care where you go when you die. They don't care. The world charges you money to tend to your infirmities and your failures. The world remembers your sins and your failures and then makes you pay for them. Jesus said, "I pray not for the world." Talking about Christians, they are not of the world. Amen? You and I, Christian, are not of the world. Stop putting the world before the Lord. Stop acting like the world. Stop singing like the world. Stop looking like the world. Stop speaking like the world. And live for Jesus Christ. Amen? So let me give you the seven steps one more. This is God's seven-step method for overcoming the world. Number one, you're to keep from it. Number two, you're to take Christ's victory over it. Number three, you're to believe you got the victory over it. You see, you already have the victory. You just haven't grasped it. Number four, recognize the Lord's indwelling presence within you. Number five, remember the world is our enemy, and the Lord's command is not to have fellowship with the world. And number six, love not the world. Number seven, remember the prayer of Jesus Christ about the world. Jesus says, "I pray not for the world, but for those which thou hast given me out of the world." Amen? And I hope you got that tonight into your hearts. There is a method for overcoming the world, and that's God's method. AA and NA is not going to help you overcome the world. the problem with your drug addiction programs and your humanistic psychology is that you have a disease, they tell you, which is a lie, and that the disease is sin. They ought to recognize that. But you're not going to overcome alcohol and drugs, because in NA and AA, they tell you that you're an alcoholic and you will always be an alcoholic, but now you are a non-alcoholic in the sense that you have abstained. That is not victory over it. When Jesus Christ shall make a man free, he is free indeed, the Bible says. And that means you are free. It's your choice if you go back to it. You understand? But God has made you free. And I tell people oftentimes that, hey, listen, you have a new life in Christ. If you're a born-again Christian, God has given you a whole new lease on life. And it's just like having an old Chevy in a garage and a brand-new Cadillac. Why? Why, my brother, would you go back and keep driving that old Chevy? Why don't you get into that new car? Why don't you get into that life that Jesus Christ gave you, that Cadillac, and live that life and feel the liberty in Christ Jesus and the joy and the peace and the holiness? Go find yourself a good, sound doctrine church. Get yourself a KJV. Throw that NIV in the garbage can where it belongs. Don't you know what's in the NIV? My goodness. It's not just a modern translation. It's not easier to read. The King James Bible was written in a fourth and fifth grade level. Are you telling me you can't read fourth and fifth grade English? Cut it out. You don't even know it, but there's 60,000 words less than a King James and an NIV. Where did those 60,000 words go? My goodness. The Bible says, my people are mad upon their idols. Amen? Bring you down quick. It will oppress you. It will depress you. You need to focus on Jesus Christ. And if you would focus on Jesus Christ, and in your singing and in your heart, you would see that you would have joy in your heart. And God will bless you. Listen, God will bless you for it. Amen. It's not how many sacrifices. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Did you hear that? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Why don't you become obedient? Excuse me. If you've been backslidden, you've been away from God, why don't you come to Jesus Christ tonight? Why don't you just bow your head and say, Father, I've been a sinner. And I believe that I slid back from the Lord. And I went back to my old ways. I went back to my pornography and my cigarettes and my alcohol and my drugs and my perverse thinking and my gambling. And why don't you just confess that and say, God, forgive me. And get that thing right and get right back up. But listen, it's not how many times you fall down. It's how many times you get back up. Listen, God's not going to put you up on the shelf until you abandon the Lord. You know, and I mean abandon the Lord. When you get so backslidden, you've got a gift from God. If you're a preacher and you quit preaching because you got into sin, you need to cut that out. Listen, the gift of God is without repentance. If God's put you on the shelf, then you need to repent and get down on your knees and do some praying and do some fasting and let God use that gift that he gave you. Amen? Don't let the devil lie to you. Can't use you. God will use you. If he can use a wretch like me, he can use you. Amen. If you're not saved and you're out there and this is the first time you've heard the gospel message, or maybe it's the second time, maybe it's the 100th time, I don't know. But tonight's the night of salvation. Scripture says today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow's not promised to you and I. We don't know if we're going to get up in the morning. There wasn't a person that went in those towers at 9/11 and thought they weren't coming home. Hey, let me tell you, you just don't know. We are in the land of sudden death. That's what they call America around the world, the land of sudden death. You better get that sin issue correct. And tonight's a good night to do it. If it's on your heart, you want to get right with God, you need to pray. You need to pray, confess your sins, repent. Just tell God, listen, I'm a sinner and I need salvation, Lord. I don't want to go to hell. Hell's a real place. Jesus spoke more about hell than any other subject in the Bible. He quoted Isaiah on hell, and I'm telling you what, it's a real place. It's not just a figment of your mind. It's not what the Jehovah Witnesses say is the grave. It's a real place. And that's what God must judge sin, because he is a holy God. fucking must judge it. And you're either going to hell or you're going to heaven. If you want to go to heaven, then you need to receive the pardon that he gave you through the death of his son, Jesus Christ. That has to be done. And that means that you repent. You turn away from your sinful life. You turn to Jesus Christ and you ask the Lord. You tell him, I repent of my old life and my sin, and I ask Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. I believe he died for my sins. He was buried and that he resurrected on the third day. And sitting right there at the right hand of the Father now, and I accept and receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And brother, sister, young or old, boy or girl, if you prayed that prayer, I'd love to hear from you. God bless you. You can reach me at ventura.peter77@gmail.com. That's ventura.peter77@gmail.com. You can email this program to Nathan on the spot. And you can get in a chat room right now and talk to Nathan. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to send you some literature to help you in your Christian walk. And if you've been backslidden, you just got yourself, you know, rededicated to doing things right for the Lord, then congratulations. God bless you. And don't ever get discouraged. Don't ever let the devil say you're through with the church, because you're not. You're not. You just keep marching forward. Keep pressing towards that high mark. That's what the Bible says. You are to press towards the high mark of your calling. Amen. And if you're a preacher, you listen to me out there tonight, and you know the things I said are true. That's going on in your church. You need to do one of two things. You need to get that church right because the head's sick, the body's sick, or you need to resign and go find another job. You know, some men went, some men are sent. And I'll tell you what, we got a lot of men that went out there. They went to school, and they thought they wanted a vocation called preaching. You know, there was a preacher who preached for 10 years before he got saved. He got saved preaching on Romans in the pulpit. Nobody even knew he wasn't saved for 10 years. Then he stood up and he told his congregation, you're not going to believe this, but I just got saved. You see, he thought it was a vocation. And maybe that's what some of you preachers are doing. You think preaching is like being a mechanic. Hey, listen, it's a gift from God. It's a spiritual gift. It's a calling. You just don't decide you're going to do it. If you're called, you'll know. God will put it on your heart. His word will burn in your heart. You can't do nothing but preach the word of God. Amen. That's the gift of God. And if you've been out there, you're playing church, you better get up out of that pulpit before God deals with you. I'm just letting you know. God's tired of it. We're coming down to the wire here now. The rapture is pretty near. We're seeing this biblical prophecies fulfilled daily and in our lives and in our generation. And I'll tell you what, today's the day of salvation. You better get right. Amen. You better tell your neighbors they better get right, because tomorrow's not promised. You got to answer to God why I didn't tell my neighbor. Paul said, my hands are clean of all man's blood. Let's have a prayer and we'll close this out. Oh, Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to minister, Lord, and to bring this message forth, and ask that you touch the hearers, Lord, and give them courage and wisdom. And help them to remember the sevenfold method of victory over the world, Lord. And that they could walk this week and these months ahead and years with victory, knowing that Jesus Christ has already won the victory. All they have to do is claim it. And God, that you would touch those in the church in Imperial Beach, Lord, who are ill. Those who are confused with doctrine, Lord, in the world. And Lord, that you would bless Sister Joan and you would continue to heal her, Lord. And there's so many people that have asked for so many prayers, Lord. I could spend hours on this telephone. I want to thank you, God, for touching and reaching out to those people and healing them. Andy down there and Chester and his wife and so many people. And we thank you for the miracles, Lord, and the wonderful things that you've done and the healings that we've seen. And I thank you for my wife, Marilyn, Lord, because when it's over, Lord, hey, fellas, let me tell you, I'm sorry, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I just want to tell you, I want to thank Scott Bruff out there, my associate pastor, and his wife and family that take care of the church right now while I'm away, Fred and Kitty and Brother Lewis. And listen, if you haven't been to our website, go check it out. It's called MyIBBC.com. That's our website, and that's, you know, we just planted it's a small church, but we're reaching out. We're working on the Golden State Bible Baptist Institute. We're getting that on CD, and we've got the Sound Doctrine broadcast. If you want a CD, listen, we don't charge for this stuff. for the CDs from the Sound Doctrine broadcast or any of the CDs, you know, from the church, you're welcome to email us or write us, go on our webpage, make a note and say you want a certain sermon. We'll get it to you in the mail. It's free. We hope it blesses you, and we hope you'll share it with somebody else. This isn't about raising money and raising funds. Listen, we're here to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. If God blesses us, amen, you want to support the program, call in, talk to Nathan on the spot here. I'm a guest on this program. This is not my my business. This is just a program that I, Enterprisement Media, hosts this thing. They've asked me what I preach on Thursdays. They gave me this guest position. I accepted it because I know what I'm preaching doesn't match the doctrines of other preachers that come on here. But I told them in order for me to preach on this radio program, I must be able to preach freely the Word of God as I understand it, and that's what I do, and I've been blessed by that, and you've been blessed by that, and so if you feel the need to if God puts a burden on your heart to support this radio program, then call in 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416, and feel free to speak with Nathan, and he can tell you how you can help him keep the program on the air. As far as the church goes in Imperial Beach, we love you. We pray for you. We pray for the program. We pray for the listeners. And I need your prayers. I'm going to be traveling back to California. And, you know, I was laughing with my wife, and I was saying that some of these preachers in the country, they didn't like my criminal record, and they told me, you know, they didn't want me to preach in their churches. And I have a CB set in my car, and I tell you what, God's allowed me to preach to drivers, truckers all the way across the country. I've preached in almost every state across the country and every state back. And so while the preachers wouldn't let me preach in their church on a Sunday, God's let me preach to three or four or five different states on a Sunday. Amen? God's good. He's got a sense of humor. I love you all. God bless you. And till we come and meet again to hear the Word of God, remember, knees on the floor, nose in the Bible, eyes on Jesus Christ. Okay, Nathan, it's you.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called me. Your love.